Thank you.
Before I introduce the speakers, one of them, which is my wife, Michelle, I just want to thank the convention committee for letting me secretary so I can hit her with the 5 minute and the stop, and the stop now thing. She's looking forward to that. This workshop is on step 10, 11, and 12, and we've asked Michelle R. and Reggie B. to share their experience, strength, and hope. So you have Michelle first.
Hello, everybody. I'm an act named Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
And y'all were supposed to be at the banquet. I don't really know what y'all are doing here. I was expecting like 10 people, so. But I'm really glad that you're here. I want to thank Ed and the committee for having me. And, you know, I can't say that I really thought about 10, 11, 12. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? That wasn't the process for me, but I probably did spend step 11 of meditating. What does step 10, 11, 12 mean to me? Because it does say in our literature, and one of the things I have learned, it's one thing to know the steps, to write the steps. It's totally different when I'm living the steps. And for me, 10, 11, and 12 are what brought me to living. They are the life. You'll hear some people call them maintenance steps. That is true. I can get behind that. However, for me, if I wouldn't have continued on, I tried to leave Narcotics Anonymous after working a 9-step. I was done, didn't want to be here. I resented all of you people and was done with the process and was wanting to live my best life. And I didn't leave Narcotics Anonymous. It was the idea of it. I was one foot in, one foot out, and made some choices. And essentially what I ended up doing was positioning myself to where I was ultimately faced with a decision to use. I can't tell you other than the God of my understanding, and ego probably saved me that day. I did not use, and then I came back to Narcotics Anonymous and continued the journey of 10, 11, and 12. So a little bit about me real quick, because I came in here a total mess. I had come from, I started running away from home when I was 13 years old. I was in and out of foster homes all my life. My dad had a stroke when he was 27 years old. It was about, I guess, about 6 or 7 years ago, I heard somebody talk in the meeting about, made a decision in the care of. I think that's the third step where it talks about turning in the care of. And they put emphasis on that part of the step, in the care of. And it occurred to me that for me, I never really was placed in the care of anybody as far as nurturing, caring, being guided. I was always supervised by adults. Obviously, I was a kid, but nobody really talked to me. Nobody really nurtured me. Nobody really offered me any kind of insight into the happenings that was going on in my life. My mom died when I was 15 months old, and we never really talked about that. The only thing that I got, I lived with my grandmother for about 5 years, and the only discussion around my mother was this bride doll that she worshipped, that she would go get out of the closet and she would bring it down and she would say, "This is yours when I die." And that is as much of any kind of information of who I was and where I came from and what my life looked like. And then she got rid of me when I was 12. She kicked me out of the house and told me I couldn't live there and sent me to live with a church family. So there was a lot of misinformation I came in here with, a lot. At 12, I went to live back with my father. We moved back to Tennessee, and he said to me, "Go find the party. You can find the party." So I went and found the party and started getting into trouble at a very early age. And the bigger the party, the more fun I had. It was very innocent and freeing. But then I would come home and my dad would like beat the shit out of me. Like, I was confused. But if I brought the party home to him, everything was fine. Like, it was no big deal. So I didn't really understand the contradiction in life. Find the party, but don't have the party. If you have the party, it's okay as long as the party is here and all of that stuff. And I say all of that to talk about 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, 1 through 9 are very important. It gives me insight to some of the unmanageability. It gave me insight into the way that I was able to see the world to some degree, the expectations that I had placed on other people, the way that I interacted. I remember writing on the sixth step. I always joke about it. Y'all do remember I said I ran away when I was 13, started hitchhiking across country at 14, and you know, I had these people tell me that I was really impulsive. And I'm like, I was surprised by this defect in the sixth step that I'm impulsive. Like, what does that even mean? No, I'm not impulsive. I make a decision. I get the decision and I run with the decision. But I'm making a decision. There's no impulsivity to it. Like, it is a plan that I have. Right? Made perfect sense to me. It was one of my struggles when I started. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through an institution. I went to a rehab and I told all the counselors how I was not an addict. I'm not an addict. I'm not an addict. And, you know, one of the things that they would tell me is, you're right where you're supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I said, listen, man, I don't even understand. Like, I make decisions for myself. You know, I remember the one time it was one of those, you know, our literature talks about we remember the things that are really good or when we do the right things. And, you know, my husband had left and I had these two kids. And finally around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it occurred to me because I was so dope sick that they had not eaten. And so I went and sold this meat that we had boosted, and I decided that I was going to get them a motel room and I was going to feed them. And I was telling this counselor, and he said, well, did it ever occur to you that if you weren't having to decide between drugs and feeding your kid? And I'm like, no. What are you talking about? I got offended that he wanted to take away the good that I just did. Like, don't you understand that this is the decision I made? So, 1 through 9, I did it. I'm sponsoring women, I'm talking to a sponsor, I'm sharing all the mess at meetings, mostly his mess, it's his fault. I'm really looking forward to the 5 minutes, not. Good thing we drove separately. And really, I'm telling you, I've got issue with it, okay? Or the stop now, I'm thinking Ed should probably take it from him and do it himself. I'm doing all that stuff, and one of the parts of the story that I haven't talked about is that I was born and raised in the carnival business, third generation carnival man to my left. And I really, at 13, the goal was not to leave home and be unmanageable and to be using. That was part of the goal, using. I made a decision at 13 that I really wanted to be a heroin addict. You know, that commercial where it was they were doing those infomercials of, you know, nobody says they want to be a drug addict. No, I did. I wanted to shoot heroin. It is what I wanted to do, and I set out to do it. And but I didn't understand that that was going to be a destruction in my life. I just did not know that, and so that's what I did. And it, about 10 years clean, I decided that I was okay again, and I went back into the carnival business because I'd gotten my life together. He wasn't willing to breach that with me, so I'm like, that's good. You stay home. You stay with the little kids. I'll take the older kids with me. And I decided to do that. And I'd made my amends, so I thought. I'd done, looked at myself and understood all these things that were, you know, I understood being impulsive again. You know, like I could see it, but really I couldn't. And so I went back into the carnival business because that is where I was supposed to be. And funny, I hated my life there just as much as I hated my life inside of Narcotics Anonymous. And it was one day my son and I are in West Virginia and people are copping dope around him. And, you know, thank God that I have the ability to hear a consciousness, which I choose to call God. And I was in this person's face in the life that they're living for themselves, saying, you can do whatever you want to do, but don't cop in front of my son. And then my spirit said, but if you don't want to see your son, see people cop him, why do you have him in the neighborhood? Like, why are you there doing that? And I'm like, oh, personal responsibility. And I was so confused that day, so confused, because it was never about using. I did not leave Narcotics Anonymous and go into what I believed to be my roots to use. It was to go and follow my dreams and to be connected to my father and to be connected to my roots and to do something that I thought I loved so much until I couldn't. So I came back to Narcotics Anonymous, and I really believed, I remember it was my 10th anniversary, and I did not expect anybody to be there, nobody. Everybody hated me, and at the end of the day, ultimately, I hated me. It was probably one of my biggest anniversaries to date. Like, everybody showed up for me, and I would remember being just so surprised by that. And I don't know how I didn't use. I don't know how I didn't use. And I had just changed sponsors, and then she put me on 10, 11, and 12, and 10. And 10, the way she had me do it the first time was she had me journal for 2 weeks, my will, God's will, and our will. And the reason that that was so pivotal before getting into the step working, God, it was just another thing that she had me do for me. I don't know if she did it with anybody else. I can't speak to that. I can only speak to my experience. And what I know that was so pivotal in that process of that 10 step is as I'm writing, what I found out that a lot of my intentions were aligned with God's intentions. Like the things that I wanted and desired the most in my life in a step 10 is something that I really knew deep inside of who I was that aligned with the God of my understanding. I just didn't know how to do it. I did not know how to carry it out. I lost footing in the seventh step with the shortcomings when I found out that I behaved one way with a different intention, that my intentions were misguided. But now I got to the 10th and had to look at my attitudes. I really love that statement, an attitude of indifference or intolerance, because an attitude could be, like I have an attitude every single day of intolerance behind the steering wheel. Every single day. I'm not lying to you. Like, as far as I'm concerned, if you've ever been in front of me, you are an idiot, you don't know how to drive, and you need to just get the hell out of the way. And that's how I lived my entire life for many, many years. The attitude of intolerance towards everybody, including myself. So then when I got to see that, oh, I really do want to be over here and I really do desire to be aligned with my God, it gave me permission to make some different decisions. And then I moved into step 11. And this is where the rubber met the road for me, step 11. I was still at a crossroads, man. Like, I've been coming to Narcotics Anonymous for years. My life had drastically improved. I had gained a lot of social things. We had bought a house. My husband that I used with was still married. I've got these 4 kids. I don't know what I'm doing with them, but I have them, and we've got a house, and we're providing, and I'm going to the school appointments, and I'm being a mom to the very best of my ability, and I'm coming to meetings, and I will tell you every time how grateful I am for my life. Like, I'm just so grateful. And then I would leave and I would just say how much I hated my life. And nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And it was so deep. And my friend would look at me and be, what about me? Like, when you say nobody, you are putting me in that category. And then I would have people that say things to me like, I wish my hope for you, is that you could see you the way that I see you. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? Because I was just the worst person ever. Truly, that is what I believed. And I was of no consequence to anybody. My husband would have been better with another woman. My children would have been better with having a stepmother. Like, there was no value to me. It was so deeply embedded in me. So I'm writing on the steps, but the one thing I did come into Narcotics Anonymous with is I did have a belief system. I had a faith. I did not know how to get in front of my God when I got here, but I did, fortunately for me, come in with a God of my understanding. And so I'm writing on the 11th step, and there was this question, and it was asking me, I don't remember the question, but I do remember writing out the answer that, if my God wants me in Narcotics Anonymous, who am I not to accept such a gift? And it was like this pivotal moment for me that all of a sudden I'm faced with making a choice of like whether or not I want to be in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been coming to Narcotics Anonymous. I shot dope many years doing stuff. I did a lot of stuff for many years. You want to go back to the impulsiveness of stuff, right? There's a lot of things that I did just because it was the next thing in front of me. Narcotics Anonymous was one of them. And so I came back almost using, miserable, celebrated 10 years, still feeling totally unloved. And then God said, make a choice, because this is what I chose for you in that step, the 11th step. And so I made a choice. I was like, holy cow, like here I am. I want to be in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'll tell you, there was something magical that happened in that decision. I didn't come in anymore. I wasn't a happy, joyous, free person after that. There was still a lot of wreckage and a lot of misery and a whole lot of mess that still needed to be taken care of. But I came in here and all of a sudden, this wasn't a burden anymore. I'm not one to say typically, not to say it doesn't happen sometimes, but very rarely will you hear me say, I really don't want to go to a meeting, but I'm going to go because I have to or because I'm supposed to. Nope. I go to a meeting because that's where I want to be. And then for the 12th step, that is 11 and 12. So for me, 10, 11, and 12 is self. If I am not taking care of myself, there is no 11, which is God. And then 12 is service in society. So when I do 10, 11, and 12, I am, if you look on the back of a medallion, that is 10, 11, and 12. Self, God, society, service. When I'm able to be of service to myself by taking care of me, who knew that that was part of being of service is taking care of me, I can then give more to you because I've done giving more to myself. And it isn't with this like manipulative, pat me on the shoulder. It is authentic. It is real. It is consciousness. And that is truly for me 10, 11, and 12. They are intentional steps, applicable steps that I live where I have to look at my life day to day, my attitudes. Where am I at? The 10th step is great about checking your attitudes. But if you ever really want to know what a 10th step looks like, when y'all are cussing that drive, that person out, there you go. You're living in an attitude of indifference or intolerance. You just heard it from me, okay? So you might want to practice a 11th step and then a 12th. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Hey everybody, I'm Reggie Hadley.
Truly
grateful to be here. I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope on 10, 11, and 12. When I first came around here, I was lost and confused. Through doing a little work on myself, what I found out is today I'm just confused sometimes. Because I know where my greatest source of strength and courage comes from. They say around here, if you are, if you're at it, when you say you are, we also say you're in recovery when you act like you are. One and nine cleared the way, cleared the path for me to be at number 10. 10th step for me is a two-part step. And the more I do the first part of the step, the less I have to do the second part of the step. And believe me, y'all, I still have problems with that even today. That one little word, it talks about properly. So I have to promptly make amends. And say, I'm going to stew on it. I'm going to do everything but not make myself a victim, blaming other people. But when the ball finally comes down to the road, if I am to grow in this process, I have to accept that. Just like the fourth step is covers the records of our past, the tenth step covers the records of our present. And a whole lot of times it's like, it just took on new meaning. Like the person I thought I wasn't. So all them years I thought I was this squeaky clean guy, and come to find out, I wasn't that. In order for me to recover in the process, what I had to do is change my thinking. In turn, when I changed my thinking, I changed my behavior. And when I changed my behavior, I changed the way I was feeling. Took a lot of practice to be here, or to get there, should I say. Through practice. I remember coming around in the beginning and, when I started shooting dope, I didn't know how to shoot dope. I learned. Got tired of your boys water-shotting me and stuff like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I learned. So just as I had to learn how to do that, I had to learn how to unlearn. And through taking a daily, and my sponsor also suggested that I did a journal. I thought it was punk stuff, but it turned out to be the best thing suggestion that I'd ever took, because it got me into writing about me. And once I got it down on paper, I couldn't deny it. I wanted to, but I couldn't deny it. So in turn, I had to take my own temperature, see how I was faring around. But in looking at that, I think he suggested that I got the 11-step pamphlet, 10-step pamphlet. It's 11-step pamphlet, whatever one it is. It really outlines, gives you some kind of outline to guide you through this step. Because I had to include the way I was feeling, the way I was thinking, where was I at in my recovery. If I was recovering at all, did I do any harm to anybody today? Did I harm myself? Did I say something that made somebody else feel bad? You know, this is a step I had to correct that in. You know, I wanted to be a better me, and in order to be a better me, I had to get honest. Man, I think this is a step of honesty. Because I had to get honest about me, with me, and about me. See, I wasn't that squeaky clean guy that I thought I was. Continued to take personal inventory, took on new meanings and new ways. That old behavior that I was practicing, it just didn't work no more. Although I wasn't ready to let go of it, it just didn't work no more. Eventually coming through... And I talk about this a lot. See, I found my God, should I say, in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all told me it didn't have to be no catch to it. The only thing I needed to know that I wasn't him. So in taking that in stride, I came to the 11th step. And we're talking about prayer and meditation. See, I thought I knew a little bit about everything. You know, my idea of meditation was driving down the street and turning the radio off. I didn't know. There's all kinds of different methods you can do. Suggested to me, you can get under the candlelight and hot bath and whatever you do that works for you. wanting to get closer to the God of my understanding, I practice and practice and practice like any other step. But there's one little word in the step, in the 11th step, a little four-letter word in italics, the word says only. And see, today, y'all, I'm trying to get to the only. Well, the only thing I think about, the only thing I know I need is more God's will and more power to carry that out. So I focus on that. And I've learned, like I say, I've learned different methods to just quiet the mind. Because when I was driving to turn the radio off, I thought that was big shit. I never rode around nowhere without the radio on, something. But like I said, it led me to different methods, and I was able to sit still long enough, and that was a problem in the beginning. Sitting still with self. You know, I could find any and everything to do to keep from having to sit down with self. So the meditation brought me around where I was able to do a couple minutes quiet time and graduated to 5 minutes maybe. Continued to practice and it was like 10 minutes. Today, y'all, I'm up to 20 minutes. But I understand the value of doing that. Because all of that stuff going on between my ears, it managed to clear the air just a little bit. So continue to keep coming around and like I say, practicing this step on and on and on. And one thing I found out, and we talk about that in our liturgy, be careful what you pray for. Because you might not be ready for it. You might not be able to handle it. And God will give it, and God will take it away from you. So coming to believing that my higher power thoughts for me or things for me, I say this a lot of times, because a lot of times what my God does for me is really not for me. It's for you. But I can't be mistaken about that, because see, a lot of times I still want to stick my will in it. Oh, let me take it back. You don't know what you're doing. I got an idea, a great idea. Them great ideas are the ones that get us high. But, and going to my sponsor, him sharing his experience with this step, it opened up my eyes to look deeper towards in my soul. You know, and all of a sudden, the things that I was doing that wasn't acceptable, they start changing. I start caring about another person. I start caring about me. The last thing I want to do is hurt somebody. Because how we say around here, hurt people. I didn't want to hurt no more. So I had to sit down and like I said, gather my thoughts and pray. A lot of times my sponsors ask, well, they come up with a situation that they're going through, and they say, well, Reggie, what do you think I should do about it? My favorite line is pray about it. Mm-hmm. You can pray it up off you. Prayer will move mountains, but you got to bring a shovel to make the first dig, they told me. And that still works today. So coming around and like I say, praying for the only what I think I needed. That way, God wouldn't take it away from me. And I continued to do that until I start getting in touch with my higher power on a deeper level. You know, I come from a church family, and I thought I knew a little bit about God. You know, I was in church from sun up to sundown. When I was able enough, old enough to take my wheel and run with it, that's what I did. And I ran to the streets. And I did what we did. Old habits are hard to break. But y'all are perfect examples that it's possible. And it's through the 12th step that I come around and share this message with anybody who wants to listen. That any addict, the purple addict, the orange addict, the pink addict, the black addict, the white addict, the atomic addict, anybody can lose the desire, stop using, and find a new way of life. That is our message. And it's been the same since the first day I walked in rooms in our cars and now. It's the same today. What's working? Why should I change it? If it's working, so looking at my own inventory, not taking yours for change. I started seeing things happening, and I could no longer blame them on coincidences. See, I thought everything was a coincidence. I wasn't in the right place at the right time. All of that time prior to coming to that point, first step tell me I was powerless, and I said, I'm not powerless. I got some kind of power. But then the 11th step turns around and say, I need to pray for more power. The power to do God's will and not mine. Continuing on with the steps, it's like I got that dream. I found that dream that we talk about around here. Waking up one morning and not be ill. Not dope sick. Not real sick. Not COVID sick. And I trust. I've come to the point in my recovery where I trust this higher power. Because Narcotics Anonymous is still doing for me today what it was doing early on when I was a newcomer. It's helping me stay clean one day at a time. Y'all told me to keep it simple. And I try to keep my life as simple as possible. A whole lot of days, it's nothing going on, and I feel bored. And one of my sponsors told me, said, well, I just want to start something. Because ain't nothing happening. I just want to start something. I said, don't open up that can of worms. You might not be able to get out clean. And our literature talks about that. So my life is amazing today. I don't have no complaints. I'm content with my board life. Doing things I never dreamed of doing. You know, traveling state to state and, you know, just not getting my money to the dope man. I used to say I got an instant pay raise when I didn't get the money to the dope man. Because they were waiting patiently when I got paid. They knew my schedule better than I knew my schedule. But thank God I don't have to live that way today. You know, that's truly a miracle. Addict like me, where I came from. Today, I know where I came from. I don't forget where I came from. Today, I know where I'm going. Today, I know where I'm at. At any given time. And that's truly through working steps in my life. I know in Baltimore area, they said, I was clean and crazy for a long time. They call it nuts in Baltimore. Not using the steps. I tried that. The one we talk about, the second step, is like we want to pass that with minimal concern. Just to find out we have to go back and do it again. So with everything that's happening in my life, it's like sometimes I have to pinch myself and realize that is me. That is me. Because this addict didn't think he was going to live past 25. Probably before then. I'd be in jail, dead. And the one thing that scares me is going back out. Because I don't think I'm going to come back. And I won't die. Because I'll stick around and suffer for another 25 years. Because I wouldn't listen to the lecture. I wouldn't take suggestions. I wanted to do it my way. Knowing all the time my way never worked. I caught myself being a drug salesman. I was my best customer. So that didn't work. But finally, I found something that works for me. And no doubt it works for all of y'all too. If you allow it. If you give yourself a chance. Give yourself a break. Narcotics Anonymous will work for you too. How much time I got?
5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm gonna wind it down. I don't have a whole lot more to say. But thank you, because somebody asked me earlier. I said, well, don't nobody come to step meetings. Mm-hmm. y'all surprised me. It really did, because that's the last thing a lot of people want to do is take a look at self. This is a self-help program. You got to take a look at self. Thanks for allowing me to share. I'll keep coming back.
Thank all of you for sharing.